In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, happy 12th day of Christmas to you all. Today's the last day of Christmastide. And even as I say that, I think we all know that in the midst of the world about us, things have already moved past Christmas, right? I mean, if you go to CVS or to any supermarket, there's no Christmas stuff. There's Valentine's candy, right? And similarly, driving around East Longmeadow or Springfield or many other places, Christmas trees are piled up by the side of the street with care in hopes that the trash men will soon be there. We've moved on, right? And yet the church tells us that today we are still celebrating Christmas. We are still gathering together and reflecting at and wondering at the miracle of God made human. God entering the world as a child, light shining in the midst of the darkness. God with us. Our songs, our decorations, they all still speak of Christmas. And yet, even as all of this tries to convince us that it's still Christmas time, the readings are starting to sound mighty odd, aren't they? I mean, we didn't hear anything about a baby in a manger. We didn't hear anything about shepherds and sheep. We didn't even hear about wise men coming from the east. We didn't hear any of that. Instead, we heard about terror and about fear. About Mary and Joseph and a young child fleeing in the middle of the night to Egypt. It doesn't really sound like Christmas. And yet here we are, the Holy Family, fleeing. It all starts with a terrible dream, doesn't it? Joseph's had dreams before. He had dreams that told him that Mary was going to have a son and he would be the child of God. Joseph had learned to listen to his dreams in the past. And time and again, when God spoke to this man in dreams, things came true. Shepherds showed up. Magi showed up. Stars appeared. So when he hears the dreams say, "Get up, your child is in danger," he knows what to do. He gets up and he violates that cardinal rule of parenthood. He wakes a sleeping baby and even worse, a sleeping mother. That is how serious this is. Now, Google Maps will tell you that to travel from Bethlehem into Egypt by modern routes, it is about 475 miles. My hunch is they didn't follow the route that Google came up with. It probably was more like 300 miles, but I don't care. That's a long flight in the middle of the night to get up and start traveling on foot to escape because you know the political authorities are about to slaughter your child. So they ran to a land with a foreign language. They ran to a place filled with strangers. They ran to a place filled with foreign customs and foreign gods. And God made human, Jesus and his parents waited there as refugees. They waited. They waited. Until finally, another dream came to Joseph and said, "Get up." And hopefully he waited till the morning to do this, right? "Get up, take the child and his mother. Go home in safety." This is a sobering, shocking story, which does not seem to fit in the midst of Christmas. I mean, I know it's the 12th day of Christmas, but it doesn't feel like a Christmas story, does it? And yet the church insists that this story of Jesus, his mother, and his father running as refugees in the middle of the night to a foreign country where they are unknown, this is part of the Christmas story. This terrible story of fear and violence
is part of who we are as people of faith. Because God chose to enter into this story, into this place. This story, which sounds like it honestly could be taken from the pages of a modern newspaper today. Maybe you'd change some details and talk about fires burning in Australia and people running in the middle of the night, or violence in the Middle East, or Chinese people being persecuted for their Muslim faith, or countless other heartbreaking reports. A story like this tells us that God is so passionately connected and loving towards us that God was willing to enter into that kind of a nightmare to be with us, to be with humanity. Look, God could have chosen incarnation in a very different time and place. God could have chosen to be born in a lovely gated community with picket fences and guards at the front door. But that is not what God chose. God chose to be born to parents who would be refugees, to parents who probably weren't very literate, to parents who didn't have two pennies to rub together. God did not choose to enter into picture-perfect lives. No. God entered the real world, real life, filled with terrible challenges and all that those terrible challenges can bring. So what does this Christmas reality of God choosing to enter into that time and that place mean for you and for me on this 12th day of Christmas? I think there are at least two basic things, two basic consequences that we as people who follow Jesus Christ should pay attention to. One, as Christians who live in a time and a place of relative safety and abundance, where we turn on the lights and 9 times out of 10 they actually turn on, where we can drink our water and we can have heat and we can have cooling when we need it, we are called to be a people who have care and compassion for those who live in the midst of the horrors that this world can bring. We are called to care about people like Mary and Joseph and Jesus. We're called to pray for them, to let our hearts be touched by them, to act in whatever way we can to help them in the midst of danger. Just as those unnamed Egyptians acted so as to welcome Jesus, Mary, and Joseph into Egypt when they arrived, we most likely are called to care about those in need and to act in their favor. For as Jesus would say a few years later, as we did it to the least of these, we did it to him. Secondly, I would suggest that this story, which doesn't feel like a Christmas story, also tells you and me that we need to look at our faith a little differently. Because you see, Jesus is choosing to be with you not simply in the beauty of your life, not simply where things are all put together and great. Jesus is choosing to be with you in your pain, your darkness, your fear. He didn't shy away from it 2,000 years ago as his family fled, and he's not going to shy away from our brokenness today. Let that sink in for a moment. Think for a moment in your life of those places of fear, darkness, confusion, powerlessness. Think of those places and then realize today's story tells us that is where God wants to enter into our lives. Not just in the picture perfect places, but right where we are afraid. God wants to enter in through people of faith walking by our side who care for us and support us. God wants to enter in through prayer, through scripture, through sacrament. But let's be honest. Just like it's hard to convince yourself that this story is a Christmas story, I think it can be hard to convince ourselves God really wants to enter in to our darkness. We'd rather just leave the darkness alone. And so if God is to enter into our darkness, I think we probably need to work at letting Jesus in there. We need to actually be intentional about it. And that brings me to this random string of beads with a cross on it. This is my little set of prayer beads. It's what I use to try to be intentional. Because I'll be honest, when I find myself disappointed with myself, when I find myself angry at how things have been going, when I find myself alone and afraid, 9 times out of 10, I don't want to look for God right then. But that's exactly what I should do. And so I'll grab these things and I'll just force myself to pray a little. Or maybe I'll force myself just to hold this cross and remind myself, Jesus is here. Jesus is with me. Jesus isn't shying away from this darkness. How could you be intentional? None of us want to spend time in the darkness. We'd all rather avoid this kind of a story altogether, but we know human life will bring these realities. So what can help you be intentional? Maybe it's a cross you hold on to, or a coin you keep in your pocket. Maybe it's an odd set of prayer beads, or maybe it's a candle, or maybe it's a piece of scripture. All I can say to you today is being intentional matters, because darkness is real. It was real for Jesus and Mary and Joseph. We know it is real for us, and God has promised that it is exactly there that God will enter in. So what could you do to let this piece of Christmas be with you? I know Christmas is ending today, but the promise of God with you will not end. So wait for God. Look for God. Be intentional. Practice. Let the light shine in the darkness. Amen.